Well, let's turn together to our catechism question, number 23. And again, we find that our studies in the Confession of Faith and the Catechism tying in perfectly together. For last Friday, we were looking at some of the issues regarding the offices of Christ as mediator, as redeemer, and one of them was as a prophet, and that's exactly where we find ourselves in our catechism question for this week. Question number 23, how does Christ execute the office of a prophet? If you remember last week, we said that because of our ignorance, we need Christ as a prophet. Because of our sin, we need Christ as our priest. And because of our rebellion, we need Christ as our king. We're going to take them one a week, for that's the way it's presented in the catechism. This week, the prophet. Next week, the priest. And then the week after that, the office of a king. How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. We've three parts really to this answer. We have what Christ does, how he does it, and why he does it. What Christ does, Christ executes the office of a prophet. How he does it in revealing to us by his word and spirit, and then why he does it, the will of God for our salvation. So we'll look at just a couple of verses here in your book, in your booklet. First of all, Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us. We've got John chapter 1 verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And then secondly, in revealing to us by his word and spirit. And we have by his word, John 20 verse 31. These are written that ye might believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And then the will of God for our salvation, and we have John 14, 26. He, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, as prophet, Christ reveals God the Father. We've seen that in chapter 1, verse 18, already there before you. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What's interesting here is, and again, this is a debatable point, but I think it's quite clear here, no one has seen God at any time. What does that mean? Nobody has seen the Father. In other words, all the revelations and manifestations of God in his glory in the past were manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in a very obvious example in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah says that he saw the Lord high and exalted, and in John's Gospel we read of whom he was speaking was Christ himself. So in that sense, every manifestation of God, every clear manifestation, every clear revealing of God was not of the Father and was not of the Holy Spirit, but it was of Christ. So Isaiah saw Christ, Joshua saw Christ in chapter 5 before he goes to defeat Jericho. And so all those manifestations, it was Christ in the Garden of Eden, that walked with Adam in the cool of the day. So no man had seen God the Father at any time, but the Son, Christ, is the one who hath declared him, as it says in the verse there. Also, John chapter 15 And verse 15 is also a helpful text in this, John 15. And verse 15 reads, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So Christ is the prophet. Christ is the one who has revealed God the Father to us, but also Christ is the one who revealed the truth to the prophets. 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 reads, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So we see clearly here it was Christ in them speaking of Christ to come. So in the Old Testament, the emphasis is always on Christ, and especially as we look at it from a New Testament perspective. Also, Christ as prophet reveals the final revelation, and we have that in Hebrews chapter 1, which our brother is going through at the moment. Hebrews chapter 1, a well-known verse, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And the idea here is that this is the last word. It's the last word that God has, because these are the last days. And God has spoken finally through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then fourthly, Christ as prophet reveals himself through his ministers. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11, and he, that's Christ, we see that from the previous verses, he gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see this all the way through from verse 8. It's all about Christ here. He is the one who has led captivity captive. He's the one who has descended and ascended. He's the one in verse 11 who's given these five different ministries. Why? For the perfecting of his body, which is the saints and the church. And what's the ultimate end? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. It is Christ all the way through in those verses. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 No, it's not. That's the wrong verse. That's okay. We'll have to skip that one. I can't remember what that text should have been. Fifthly and lastly on this main section of the Catechism, Christ as prophet reveals the purpose of his ministry as prophet in John chapter 20 and verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. The purpose of Christ and his ministry as prophet is so that we will believe and trust in him. It is the focus of his ministry. Now, what's interesting about all this, what we said, is we have people today in the modern church who talk a lot about prophets, but they rob Christ of his prophetic ministry. Men exalt themselves, they raise themselves up, bring honor and glory to themselves, and by so doing, they steal from Christ his true ministry. Also, we want to notice from this, is by way of application, Christ's prophetic ministry is through the scripture alone. Therefore, to compromise on this principle of scripture alone is to compromise also on the prophetic ministry of Christ. Scripture is the only way that Christ speaks to us. So on one extreme, you've got the self-ordained prophets of many modern Pentecostal and so on types of churches. Then on the other extreme, and probably not the other extreme, probably just the same in the same sense, you've got Roman Catholicism with its tradition, with its idea of church history as being authority, magisterium of the church and so on. All of these not only take away the principle of sola scriptura, or what I prefer to say, prima scriptura, I think that's really what we should use. It's not the scripture alone, but the supremacy of scripture that we need to emphasize. For we do use other books, we're using the catechism here at the moment, but everything is subordinate to the word of God, because that is the supreme authority. And therefore, anyone who speaks must speak from the Word of God. Let me just close by reading from G.I. Williamson. At the time of the Reformation, it was generally thought that ordinary people should have the Bible. It was said that only scholars... should not have the Bible, I should say. It was said that only scholars should study it, and only under careful supervision. That was the Roman Catholic idea. Ordinary people could not read the Bible. Ordinary people could not understand the Bible. That is still the view of the Roman Catholic Church. Luther and other great reformers, however, took the opposite view. They said that everyone should have the Bible, and they believed that unlearned people could understand what the Bible teaches with the help of the Holy Spirit, better than the scholars who were unbelieving. In our modern age, we are again seeing much of this old and false idea that only the scholars can understand the Bible. The fact of the matter is, however, that it has often been the scholars who have denied the Bible. It's not so true. It has often been the scholars who have led the church away from the teaching of the Bible and toward the false philosophies of the time. This does not mean that scholars are useless, but it does mean that no Christian should ever put anything above or even on an equal level with the Bible itself. Every Christian should always give supreme respect to what Christ says to him through the pages of the Bible. And the Bible should be read with the constant prayer that Christ might grant the gift of his Holy Spirit to enable us to understand it. So I hope you've got the one point that I meant to get across in this whole time. If we remove the Bible, we remove Christ. If we remove the supremacy of the Bible, we remove the supremacy of Christ. It is the only means and method by which Christ rules his church. It's the only way he can be the prophet, the priest, and the king in his church. Every time we proclaim the word of Christ, we are declaring he is the ultimate prophet. He is the last prophet. He is the high priest. And he is the only king and head of the church. So, how does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation.